Rapid fire. Employment. The credentialing landscape. The American Legion unveils the first element of the Military Credentialing Advancement Initiative, giving veterans and service members credit for the skills they acquired while enlisted. Although countless service members enlist with the hope of gaining new skills that prepare them for careers, many veterans find out far too late that the private sector has no systematic way of measuring those skills. That means missing out on job opportunities, enrolling in college courses that teach them what they already know, or jumping through bureaucratic hoops that stall their careers for months or even years. In 2019, the American Legion set out to change that with the creation of the Military Credentialing Advancement Initiative, MCAI. With funding from the Lumina Foundation, MCAI has just captured the most promising solutions in a new report, The Future of Credentialing of Service Members and Veterans, Leveraging Partners, Policies, and Resources. A year ago, veteran unemployment was at an all-time low. Even so, LinkedIn reported that 33% of veterans were underemployed, and veterans were 15.6% more likely to be underemployed than non-veterans. The COVID-19 pandemic exacerbated unemployment rates for veterans, providing even greater urgency for the initiative and the report itself. It's a complicated challenge with many players, so the document is aimed at colleges and universities, legislators, government agencies, and employers involved in manufacturing, healthcare, and information technology, among others. The report also recognizes that the military must adapt its own education and credentialing programs to ease a service member's transitions into civilian roles. Future of Credentialing looks at model programs and public-private partnerships, such as the Utility Workers Military Assistance Program and SkillBridge, recognition of learning and stackable credentials, exemplary government policies, and resources for those looking to help change the landscape for service members and veterans. The American Legion is now preparing a communications campaign to get the report in front of critical decision-makers in government and the private sector. And throughout 2021, Lumina will carry the MCAI torch, advancing several pilot projects and sharing the results of the most successful programs. We're really excited to work with Lumina to tell the stories of some amazing employers, government agencies, and policymakers who are helping fulfill the promise our country has made to millions of men and women, says John Kamen, Education and Credentialing Policy Associate for the American Legion's Veterans Employment and Education Division. From the work People's Gas is doing to put veterans to work in Chicago, to the ways the federal government has streamlined commercial driver's licenses, there are plenty of successes to build on, and we're just getting started. Honor and Remembrance. First Colors event to broadcast flag raising at new National World War I Memorial. The U.S. flag will be raised above the soon-to-open National World War I Memorial in Washington, D.C., during a live broadcast program April 16th. The ceremony will commemorate the millions of Americans who served in the trenches and on the home front, transforming the nation through the sacrifices they made and the ideals they bequeathed. Set to begin at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the 75-minute broadcast will feature Oscar nominee Gary Sinise, as well as performances from the U.S. Army's band Pershing Zone, the 369th Regiment Harlem Hellfighters Tribute Band, and the original cast of the musical Hello Girls. Viewers will also hear insights from elected officials, military leaders, members of the U.S. World War I Centennial Commission, and the memorial's design team. The flag that will wave over the memorial first flew over the U.S. Capitol April 6th, 2017, commemorating the centennial of the day the United States went to war in 1917. It then flew over the American World War I battlefield cemeteries of Europe, honoring the 116,516 Americans who died during the war. The flag's journey to Europe and back echoes that of the legendary Doughboys, honoring those who gave their lives in battle and celebrating others' triumphant return home. Register to watch the broadcast at the Commission's website, www.1cc.org/firstcolors. Service Officers, a rewarding position. After two deployments to Iraq, Army veteran Sean Meyer struggles in his transition to civilian life. First, it was gambling. Then he turned to alcohol. "I didn't adjust well," recalls Meyer, who was a Bradley mechanic with the 1st Armored Division, 26th Infantry, out of Baumholder, Germany. "I battled addiction a lot. I went to drinking heavily to just forget about everything. I was not dealing with anything that had happened or that I'd seen." Meyer, who lives in Brandon, South Dakota, says he screwed up my life for a good 10 years before getting sober in 2013. But then his struggles returned. "I started remembering, and the depression, the panic, the anxiety, my previous life, it all came back to me, and I had no place to go." Though Meyer was skeptical of VA based on a previous experience, he put his trust in Courtney Van Zanten, the service officer for the American Legion Department of South Dakota. "I need help," he told her. As an accredited American Legion service officer, Van Zanten is trained to help veterans like Meyer. She helped him enroll in VA, putting him on the path to obtain benefits he previously did not receive. For his PTSD, anxiety, and depression related to his service, Meyer's disability rating will be 70%. "She said she could help me," Meyer says. "She came and did all the paperwork right there at my convenience. The award is nice, but I learned a long time ago money won't buy you happiness. Courtney gives me hope." An Air Force veteran, Van Zanten has been an American Legion service officer for about 5 years. Her training and support are funded by the Legion's Veterans and Children Foundation, VNCF, which provides critical training for service officers nationwide so they can remain up to date on claims, procedures, benefits, and more to assist transitioning service members and veterans. Van Zanten is appreciative of those who support her work through donations to the VNCF. To make a contribution, visit legion.org/donate/endowment_fund. "It's crucial to have information rolled down to us through the training," she says. Assisting veterans like Meyer is fulfilling to Van Zanten, who serves as commander of the Arthur Peterson American Legion Post 136 in Chester, South Dakota. "It's pretty incredible," she said. "This is an incredibly rewarding position. I care deeply about all of my veterans." Henry Howard. Caption: Courtney Van Zanten assists Iraq war veteran Sean Meyer. End of caption. Education: My GI Bill, Veterans and Education, by Valerie Hefner. Eligibility criteria for Texas Hazelwood Act. Question: My younger brother seeks to use the Hazelwood Act to attend a truck driving school in Houston. However, a community college would not accept it, saying he would have to pay his own tuition. Another community college placed him on a waiting list. Why can he use the Hazelwood Act at the college where he's on the waiting list and not the other school? Answer: The Hazelwood Act is for eligible Texas veterans who received an honorable discharge and served at least 181 days of active duty. Veterans must reside in Texas, meet the grade point average of the institution's satisfactory academic progress, and not be in default of a student loan. The Act covers up to 150 hours of tuition exemption, including most fees. It does not provide living expenses, books, or supplies. Colleges that provide the Hazelwood Act exemption are Texas public colleges or universities that receive tax support. If your brother applied at the first college and it did not accept the criteria, it may be due to the school being a private, for-profit school and not qualifying for tax support. Valerie Heffner is a Marine Corps veteran and member of American Legion Post 27 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Ask Valerie at legion.org. Youth. Eagle Scout is so much more than a medal or an award. It's an expectation and a lifestyle. It means that you're a role model to your community every day of your life. Lindsay Nedrow of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, who achieved the highest rank in scouting with her sister Lauren last October. On February 21st, Boy Scouts of America hosted an online ceremony recognizing nearly 1,000 young women as the first class of female Eagle Scouts. Health. Compliments from Paris. French President Emmanuel Macron is praising the U.S. government for its efforts to rapidly develop and distribute COVID-19 vaccines, Politico reports. The Americans did this very well, much better than us, Macron said. He cited America's federal system of government and a greater willingness to take risk as some of the key reasons for its success. Macron described the Operation Warp Speed vaccine development program, which was launched by the Trump administration, as extremely innovative, especially compared to what he called Europe's slower strategy. EU agencies are sometimes perhaps too cautious, he said, before adding, "What's great is that we can benefit from what the Americans did. When they compressed phases 2 and 3 of clinical trials, they allowed all of humanity to progress. It's great." Caption: workers pack boxes containing the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine in preparation for shipment at the Pfizer Global Supply Manufacturing Plant in Kalamazoo, Michigan. End of caption. Capitol Hill. Codenames: President Joe Biden's and Vice President Kamala Harris's Secret Service codenames have been revealed. As Yahoo News reports, Biden is called Celtic by his Secret Service detail, and Harris is called Pioneer. Active duty. Milestone in Afghanistan. U.S. forces in Afghanistan have gone a full year without a combat death for the first time in nearly 2 decades, as Stars and Stripes reports. The United States has lost 2,452 personnel in Afghanistan since the beginning of the war in October 2001. Government. Legislatures push back. A year after governors began wielding sweeping public health powers in response to the pandemic, state legislatures are moving to curtail and, in some cases, permanently roll back those executive powers. As Pew Research explains, the delayed reaction is largely a function of the fact that most state legislatures convene only for a few months in the winter and spring, or as in states such as Nevada and Texas, for a few months every other year. But legislative bodies are now acting with gusto as lawmakers in dozens of states take action to check gubernatorial power. Specifically, the National Conference of State Legislatures reports that legislative chambers in at least 37 states, Guam and Puerto Rico, have introduced or are considering more than 200 bills or resolutions in 2021 that would limit or provide oversight of governor's powers or executive spending during the COVID-19 pandemic or other emergencies. Science. We found the parking lot and hid it. Alan Chen, entry, descent, and landing lead for NASA's Perseverance mission. On February 18th, the vehicle carrying the rover entered the atmosphere at 12,000 miles per hour, then deployed a parachute while going nearly twice the speed of sound. A sky crane lowered the rover to the surface, where it will search for signs of past life and gather soil samples. Caption: an illustration shows NASA's Perseverance rover landing safely on Mars. The rover touched down in relatively rugged terrain, about a mile southeast of the center of its target. End of caption. Active duty. Elite company. When Navy Captain Cassidy Dudley Norman landed an F-A-18E on the Navy's newest aircraft carrier, USS Gerald R. Ford, he joined an elite fraternity of naval aviators who have landed on 6 different classes of aircraft carriers. As Business Insider reports, after receiving his commission in 1993, Norman qualified on USS Abraham Lincoln, which is a Nimitz-class carrier, then received his first assignment on USS Independence, which is a Forrestal-class carrier. He then served aboard USS Kitty Hawk, USS John F. Kennedy, and USS Enterprise. Each of those represents its own class of carrier. Norman, who has logged more than 3,000 flight hours and secured 702 traps in his career, recently took command of USS John C. Stennis, a Nimitz-class carrier. Caption: Captain Cassidy Norman lands an F/A-18E Super Hornet attached to the Gladiators of Strike Fighter Squadron 106, VFA 106, on USS Gerald R. Ford's flight deck, October 31st. Norman has conducted carrier qualifications on 6 classes of aircraft carriers. End of caption. Active duty. Flying first responders. 4 U.S. soldiers and a flight surgeon serving in Germany aboard a CH-47F became first responders recently, assisting a German citizen injured in a car accident. As DOD reports, the crew, assigned to an aviation brigade within the 101st Airborne Division, had just completed a training exercise and was headed back to base near Ilsheim, Germany. "We were flying over a ridgeline in a rural area," says Chief Warrant Officer Dave Acton. "Once we cleared it, my crew chief in the back came on the comms system and said he saw a puff of white smoke on the road below. After I called that in, I looked further down the road and saw a car roll over 2 or 3 times," said Specialist Bruce Cook, a crew chief. "The crew quickly decided to circle back and land to offer assistance. We all simultaneously thought the same thing, that the right thing to do was to assist however we could," said Chief Warrant Officer 2nd Robert Riedel. Flight Surgeon Major Benjamin Stork assessed the situation, stabilized the driver's neck and back, briefed local paramedics upon their arrival on the scene, assisted in moving the injured man to an ambulance, and then hopped back in the Chinook. Stork said it all took about 10 minutes. Careers. The Job Front by Wendy S. Enelo. Where's the hiring action? One of the single greatest values of the internet is the treasure trove of information about hiring and employment trends. I find myself spending hours every month researching where there's hiring action to provide sound advice to my readers. Here is some of the latest information I've found that can help you identify your job targets and manage a successful search campaign. In no particular order, here are some of the professions showing strong and sustained growth, along with a few representative job titles for each. Sales professionals, sales representatives, sales consultants, sales operation assistants, inbound sales specialists, business development professionals. E-commerce frontline jobs, drivers, supply chain associates, package handlers, warehouse personnel, logistics and distribution associates. Digital marketing and content professionals. Digital marketing specialists and representatives. Marketing associates. Search engine optimization specialists. Content coordinators, writers, podcasters, bloggers. User experience professionals. User experience designers, product design consultants, user interface coordinators, researchers. Artificial intelligence and data scientists, machine learning engineers and researchers, artificial intelligence specialists, data scientists, data science specialists, data management analysts, nursing and healthcare support personnel, registered nurses, certified nursing assistants, nurse practitioners, healthcare assistants, pharmacy technicians, dental assistants, home health aide, educators, teachers, trainers, tutors, teaching assistants, curriculum developers, education assistants, instructional aides, loan and mortgage experts, underwriters, mortgage loan and lending officers, escrow officers, loan closers, mortgage program administrators, professional coaches, career coaches, life coaches, business coaches, fitness coaches, health and wellness coaches. If you'd like to expand your own job search research, not just for open positions, but for information on the jobs and industries on the rise, spend some time on a few of my favorite sites to uncover valuable data. LinkedIn, Indeed, Career Builder, Monster, USA Jobs, Federal Government Opportunities, and the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Thousands of pages, graphs, tables on employment projections, salary, geography, and scores of other topics. Happy hunting! Wendy Enelo is a master resume writer and the author of Expert Resume and LinkedIn Profiles for Managers and Executives, and other titles. Wendy at wendyenelow.com. Media, 1 year and growing for Tango Alpha Lima. To mark the first anniversary of the American Legion's Tango Alpha Lima podcast in April, here are some numbers through the end of February. 16,644 total downloads. 2,133 downloads in July, the highest monthly total. 1,131 downloads for Episode 8, released June 24th, the most of any episode. Topics included racial tensions, renaming military bases, and Green Berets playing video games. 350 hours, viewing video versions of podcast on YouTube. 53. Estimated number of grilled cheese sandwiches co-host Mark Seavey has consumed during recordings. 23. Crayons co-host Jeff Daly has used up writing his notes for the show. 2 ways you can enjoy the witty banter, insightful takes, and entertaining guest interviews. Audio versions of each episode can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and other podcast hosting sites. Videos are available at the Legion's YouTube channel, youtube.com/AmericanLegionHQ. Each episode of Tango Alpha Lima is released by 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday. For more information and to check past episodes, visit legion.org/TangoAlphaLima. National Convention. Phoenix Area Posts Available to Host Gatherings. A list of Phoenix Area American Legion posts able and willing to host functions for departments and other groups during the 102nd National Convention in August is online at legion.org/convention/resources. Each post's listing includes its name, address, contact information, capacity, and distance from the Phoenix Convention Center. The list will be updated as more posts offer to host events. Personal Finance. Focus on Finances. J.J. Montanaro. Financial Tips When Going Through a Divorce. A lot of the topics I write about get me excited. Saving, investing, budgeting, and paying down debt all create a framework for financial success. So even if they aren't flashy, if you read about them at the right time, the message can inspire actions that propel you to a better place. To me, that's motivating. On the surface, an article about divorce may not hold the same promise. However, if you think about it, it really does. Doing a divorce right can help you avoid a big financial hole and allow you to stay on track so you can achieve the goals you have for you and your family. If you find yourself walking this path, these 5 tips can help you mitigate divorce's negative effects. Get the right help. Combine all that's at stake with the complex laws on this subject, and it's clear that most folks will benefit from professional guidance. Engaging an attorney, a certified divorce financial analyst, or an accountant shouldn't be interpreted as an act of war. In fact, the old saying, "We don't know what we don't know," sums up the necessity. Each situation's unique aspects, such as military service, for example, make qualified help critical. You might also want to consult with an accountant or financial planner to truly understand the short and long-term financial and tax consequences of divorce. Don't let emotions throw you off track. If we take an honest look at our personal history, we can all probably see situations, purchases, job moves, investment decisions, where emotions were not helpful. It's hard to imagine a more emotionally charged situation than divorce. Use your counsel and the counsel of those you trust to better navigate this difficult time. Dig into the details early. Commit to making it happen rather than letting it happen to you. Early on, focus on gathering all the details and data: tax returns, financial statements, pay stubs, benefit information, assets, and liabilities. This is especially important if you have been less involved in your family's finances. All this information will help provide you and your team with a comprehensive lay of the land. Understand Social Security and other benefits. There are a lot of unique rules when it comes to retirement plans, Social Security, and military benefits. For example, the Uniformed Services Former Spouses Protection Act allows, but does not mandate, military retirement to be divided as property by state courts. Social Security has an array of rules regarding divorce and, in certain circumstances, allows a former spouse to receive benefits based on an ex-spouse's earnings record. Again, get good help. Build your plan and follow through. Years ago, when I had my own book of clients, I met with a divorced client. As I was reviewing her account statement, I noticed she had a large jointly owned investment account. The curious part? Her ex-spouse was on the account with her and had complete access. Oops. Whether it's updating beneficiaries, retitling assets, closing all joint accounts, or establishing credit, deposit accounts, and acquiring insurance in your own name, find the energy to follow through. It's hard to imagine divorce being a seamless experience, but you can make it less painful from a financial perspective by focusing on what you can control. J.J. Montanaro is a certified financial planner with USAA, the American Legion's preferred provider of financial services. Submit questions for him online. Legion.org/USAA/focus on finances. Economy: the staggering costs of COVID-19. As Americans emerge from the pandemic year, political scientists and economists are beginning to count the costs of COVID-19 and the government response to it. In a paper for JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, Harvard professors David Cutler and Lawrence Summers estimate the mortality, morbidity, mental health conditions, and direct economic losses in the United States to be a staggering $16.121 trillion. The lost output in the Great Recession was only one quarter as large. They explain by way of comparison, the economic loss is more than twice the total monetary outlay for all the wars the United States has fought since September 11, 2001, including those in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. Active duty: shot in the arm. The Pentagon has deployed an additional 20 teams of active-duty military personnel to support FEMA's vaccination centers around the country. Inside Defense reports, some 4,700 active-duty troops are assisting FEMA, which has asked the Pentagon for as many as 10,000 troops to aid the vaccination effort. A Pentagon spokesman says the Defense Department is taking a phased approach in how it releases personnel to the vaccine effort.